What's the latest on their defensive lineman, Nick Bosa? I heard earlier today he had surgery done on one of his core muscles. Is it still looking like he's going to be out until at least the Penn State game?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you'll hear, as you just said, the Urban Meyer show, Coach Meyer revealed that Nick Bosa had surgery on an injured core muscle. He had surgery yesterday or today. He will definitely be out for the Tulane game. Coach Meyer didn't give a timetable for his return, so I guess you could say he's out indefinitely. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses a decent amount of time, maybe 4 or 6 weeks. I mean, that's a tough injury to come back from. I know Nick Bosa, a tough guy, but I don't know how you can come back after 1 week with having surgery done in your, lower abdominal, groin, upper leg area. I don't know how you would be able to come back really quickly after that.
So what does this do to that rotation up front? Last week we talked about just how great that unit really is, and I think at one point last week we talked about how that particular unit was giving Clemson a run for its money as the top defensive line in all of college football. How does this affect that rotation, and who do you think could see more snaps as a result of this injury?
If there was going to be one place on this Ohio State football team that you take a hit on and be okay, it's defensive linemen and especially defensive end, because I think Ohio State is stacked there. More than likely, facing a lot more time will be Jonathan Cooper. He's a local product from Gahanna Lincoln High School here in the Columbus area. I would expect to see him a lot. And, I would also expect to see a lot of Chase Young not come off a lot. Maybe more of a, not so much of a rotation as it is like the first 3 weeks, but I would expect to see him and Cooper out there a majority of the snaps, at least this week for the first half. Second half, you'll see a lot of the freshmen coming in and using up some of their redshirt eligibility now that you have 3 or 4 games and not bring your redshirt. But my guess is Jonathan Cooper will slide right into that spot, and that's really, you're going to miss a lot with having Nick Bosa there, but the core of what Nick Bosa can do, I think Jonathan Cooper will do a good job with that.
We're talking Ohio State football with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV down in Columbus. Dunny, you mentioned some of the freshmen, and the expectation definitely is that those guys should see some action in the second half of this game, as we expect Ohio State to be up by a ton at that point. A redshirt freshman I want to take a look at here, Sean Wade, a guy that has spent a little bit more time playing in the secondary, but primarily a guy that comes out in nickel packages. He was a guy Ohio State a couple of years ago was very excited to get their hands on. Do you think Sean Wade has earned more playing time in that secondary?
Absolutely, I think he does. He gets a lot of it. He's pretty much the number one or number two nickel corner to come off the bench when receivers go into a 3 or 4 wide. I think he might be starting to fight or sniff playing corner more regularly, especially in the first half of some of these games where they're going to be blowouts, as people expect. Sean Wade has done a great job, and Coach Meyer even said so during the coaches' shows. He's definitely improved, especially since the spring when Urban Meyer last saw him.
What stood out to you most as we take a look back at that victory over TCU? What stood out to you most, whether it was an individual, whether it was just an element of the game? What stood out to you most in that win over TCU last week?
I think it was two things. One, it was nobody panicked. You're down 14-13 and a half. TCU comes back out of the second half. They score. You're down 21-13. Nobody panicked. Everybody kept their cool. You could still see the sideline for Ohio State. They were still in it. They still wanted. They still knew they were in the game. And then next thing you know, they go out and score 21 points in 2 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it was, to kind of take over the game in the third quarter. So I think the fact that everybody kept their cool, it was a good thing to see. And the play of Dwayne Haskins, if it wasn't for some drops, I think Dwayne Haskins would be one of, if not the player of the week, not just in the Big Ten, but probably the country, just because of how accurate he was. There's no window small enough that he won't throw into, that he thinks his receiver will get it. He's so confident in what he can do. I think overall, he has definitely showed a lot of improvement. And he took a lot of hits in that game against TCU. You saw blitzes coming right at him up the middle. stayed in the pocket as long as he could before delivering a good ball to a receiver that could catch it. I think he definitely showed Buckeye Nation and I think the country that, you know, he's somebody that can sling it and play well.
Sean, I had kind of touched on this last week, but I talked about how weak the Big Ten kind of was. This week, things didn't help. Wisconsin went down to BYU. Are there a lot of Buckeye fans sort of becoming TCU fans? Because I feel TCU's got to finish toward the top of that Big 12 if the Buckeyes want to make a playoff appearance this year with what's happening in the Big Ten and what may continue to happen.
Oh, absolutely. And I think just the way TCU played, I think Buckeye fans would be Corn Frog fans no matter what. But I think, yeah, absolutely. If Ohio State wants to sniff the playoff and if, you know, especially if they suffer a loss throughout the season, whether it be Penn State or somebody else, maybe Michigan or whoever, you know, they definitely want TCU to play well. They need them to beat Texas this week. They need them to beat Oklahoma in a few weeks. Definitely need TCU to play well because of, you know, it wasn't just, you know, losses by the Big Ten. They were some pretty bad losses. I mean, Illinois was up like 24-7 in the fourth quarter to South Florida, and South Florida came back to win the game. You have teams like Akron winning. Rutgers got destroyed by Kansas. Kansas had their first road win in like 43 games, and they won back-to-back. You had some really bad losses from the Big Ten last week.
You bring that up. I mean, Purdue lost to Eastern Michigan the week before. Akron was a winner over Northwestern this year or last week. So I'll ask you this. You say if Ohio State loses again, if they lose a game, do you think they still could get into the postseason with the playoff?
I still think so because, you know, you look at who they play. You look at the core of who they play, and Penn State, they haven't lost. Yeah, they had a tough game against Appalachian State, but you know, it's still looking as a victory. You know, they still play a tough Michigan team. They still play a tough Michigan State team. I think with the core of who they play, the big three in the Big Ten East, I still think if they win out or even suffer a loss, they can still get into the championship game as long as they win the conference championship game.
I don't know how much things change, Dunny, but at least from the public perception of things, things definitely change a little bit with Urban Meyer returning to the sidelines this weekend. Now, of course, he's been with the team that practiced the last couple of weeks, but he gets to be the bench boss, so to speak, or the sideline sergeant for the Ohio State Buckeyes when they take on Tulane this Saturday.
So he's calling it the game manager.
Game manager, there you go. Well, what exactly changes now that he's back? Because clearly they survived without him. And, you know, I don't know how you view this, but in the court of public opinion, I think people are pretty much split as how they view this guy as a person. But how much do you think things will change now that Coach Meyer is back on the sidelines?
Well, according to Coach Meyer, not much. I think what's going to change is just he will make all the big-time decisions, whether to go for it on 4th-and-1, near midfields, you know, calls like that. But it really sounds like he's going to let Kevin Wilson and Ryan Day run the offense as they have been the last few weeks. Ryan Day will stay on the field, which is something different for him. Normally when he's calling plays, he's up in the press box. So that'll be a little bit different. And obviously, he's going to let Greg Schiano and Alex Grinch run the defense. So as he said, he's really going to be looking, especially at this game, as more of a game manager type more than a calling all the plays and everything like that.
Well, this is going to be a nice little tune-up because they, of course, have a huge game next week as they get into conference play taking on Penn State. Just general thoughts on Tulane this weekend. I mean, everybody expects Ohio State to score 60 or 70 again against these guys. What are the Buckeyes saying about Tulane right now? I mean, what concerns them mildly, if anything?
Not a whole lot from everything that I've read and heard. I know I'm interested if the Buckeyes do turn the ball over, which I believe would be the second time this year. Will Tulane break out the turnover beef that they have on their sideline? You know, everyone has now, or it seems like everybody has, a turnover prop, whether it be a turnover necklace or a Florida State has a turnover backpack. Oregon State brought out a turnover chainsaw. Tulane has turnover beads. So will they bring those to Ohio Stadium, and will they be able to pull those out if they get a turnover against Dwayne Haskins with the Buckeyes off?
Wait. There was a turnover chainsaw?
That's right. The Oregon State Beavers last week debuted the turnover chainsaw.
Huh.
Was this like an actual chainsaw, a toy chainsaw? What kind of chainsaw was this thing?
It looked like an actual chainsaw, but the actual chain around the saw was taken off.
Probably a good move.
Yeah, but the saw and the sharp edges are still there.
No,
so
he said they take
no,
it off.
No. They took, like I said, they took off the chain and everything. So
the
it's
chain.
Just that metal thing at the end. And the, but as far as I know, they still have the motor. I just saw pictures of it. I thought it was the best turnover prop there's been so far. It might be a wee bit dangerous, and I don't know how it gets through TSA. But you know, it is what it is, I guess.
You said Florida State has a turnover backpack.
Yeah, that might be a reason why they lost to Syracuse, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. They about to just forget everything they're doing right now and change it because it's not working down there.
They have to step up their game when it comes to the turnover props, I guess.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. All right, well, turnover props are apparently becoming a pretty big thing in college football these days. It was cool.
Absolutely.
When it was the chain, it was fine. But now it's evolved.
It still was pretty lame. Don't get me wrong.
Well,
sorry if I'm offending any Hurricane fans out there. It was pretty dumb to begin with.
I could live with that. I thought that was okay, but now it's kind of getting out of control.
At a school that's gotten in trouble with money issues, they have a big gold chain, and you're like, that seems to be reasonable. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, sure. It's the story of the Hurricanes. Donnie, I've got to throw this next question at you. This is way out of left field here. And, you know, I know you're a Browns fan. You spent a lot of time on football sidelines over the last couple of decades. I want to say I've never heard of anything like this before. I mean, when you and I have been down on the sidelines before, you hear people bark at officials. You hear people say things they probably shouldn't. Some officials are better than others at just kind of letting that slide. But I don't know if you've heard about this, but the Browns Radio Network, their sideline reporter, Nathan Zagura, we were told a couple days ago, actually we were told yesterday he was going to be suspended. He will not be on the sideline for tonight's game against the Jets. Now we come to find out that he is going to be off the sideline for the next 8 weeks because of what he did to an official or what he said to an official in that Saints game in New Orleans back on Sunday. And apparently this wasn't the first time that he caused an issue with an NFL official. I find that so hard to believe that something...
I do too.
Based on what we know about this guy, and I don't know him well. I don't know him personally. I've not been on the sidelines with him or anything like that, but he seemed like a true pro's pro in the reports that he gave. It blows me away, though, that you hear a story like this about a guy arguing with an official. Have you ever heard anything remotely close to this happening before?
Not one bit. I mean, when you're in the press, you're in the media, you go to a game. Yes, I am a Browns fan, but once I enter the stadium, I'm under rules and regulations, not just from, you know, a journalistic ethics point, but also, you know, the Browns in the NFL, there's no open cheering in the press box. Anytime there's a big Browns play or anything like that, or a big player from the other team, say the Jets this week, you don't hear Jets media clapping or whooping or anything like that. You don't hear Cleveland media doing that either in the press box. Same thing with Ohio Stadium. You don't hear any cheering or loud clapping or anything like that into every time the Buckeyes do something. And that's the same on the sidelines, with the exception of the bench area. That one is hard to believe. I get that he's part of the Browns Radio Network. He's paid by the Browns, but you still got to have a level of common sense in my mind to not do that. You know, I might say hi to a high school official that I've seen a few times out and about. If they're walking off something from the kickoff, or if it's not when game action is going on. But you know, I keep my mouth shut if I see a bad call or anything like that. I keep my mouth shut because that's not what I'm paid to do.
Yeah.
So for that to happen, that one is mind blowing.
Yeah, I was a little shocked when I read that too. And see, when it first came out, I thought, all right, you know what? Maybe he was in a spot on the field the official didn't like, and they told him to move, and he...
Absolutely, but, and that happens a lot.
Right, exactly. That happens a ton, and then at some point, you know, it becomes one personality against the other, and when you're a referee, you've got control of the field, so they're going to win that battle 99 times out of 100. There's always that rare exception, but then we found out, apparently, this wasn't his first run-in with officials, so I thought that was bizarre, just because on the field, look, there are times you hear people bark a little bit. Sometimes boosters that are down on the field will say some things. Absolutely. But, you know, I had never heard of a media member doing that down there. That's why I wanted to get your take on that, because you've been on the sidelines tons and tons of times over the last couple of decades. All right, Dunny, before we let you go here, what are the big matchups going on down in Columbus in the high school football scene this weekend?
We got three big matchups down here in Central Ohio. Our Get Set Before You Bet game of the week is Hilliard-Davidson hosting Pickerington Central, the defending state champs. You have Pickerington North 4-0 hosting Dublin Kaufman, who's 4-0. And then you have a big game in the City League for the South early South Division rivalry game between Eastmore, who's 3-1, and undefeated Walnut Ridge. So those three games are the big games. We're keeping an eye out tomorrow on 1st and 10. Should be a fun one. Hopefully the storm they're predicting with big winds and lightning and thunder stays away.
Yeah, let's push that lightning and thunder into Saturday or Sunday so we're not forced to contend with that on Friday night.
I would prefer not Saturday because we also have the Buckeyes at home, and we don't need any delays for that one.
Well, maybe in the morning time, so you guys don't have to contend with that in the afternoon, right?
I will take that. I will take that.
All right, good stuff. Donnie, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV down in Columbus, shedding some light on Saturday's game against the Tulane Green Wave.